Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, and today we're taking the Lord's Supper, and so the title of the message is Understanding the Lord's Supper, and I hope that you're blessed from hearing what Paul and how the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God to help us to make all these connections to Jesus Christ, and it's just wonderful how the Bible has been written. And I want to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 24 through 26, and then there's a lot of blanks on your outline, but we'll be very brief, so be ready to fill them in here in a few minutes. And then we're going to conclude with Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, but we're just going to read the 1 Corinthians text for now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That's the gospel message. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So if you've got your pen ready, we're going to take off. And I just want to encourage you, I don't know how often you read in 1 Corinthians, but when you have time, read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and all of chapter 11 and chapter 12. It's all one great big theme connected together, and you'll see what Paul is trying to accomplish with the Corinthian believers. Now remember, for context, these Corinthian believers, when they met together to take the Lord's Supper, they had a meal at the beginning that was called the Love Feast. And in the Love Feast, they were to bring food and to bring all the different things that they could eat. And the wealthier Christians that were in the group were to wait. Anybody was to wait, really, until everybody got there, because it was to be harmonized and lots of unity. And then they would distribute food to those who were less fortunate. And so everybody would be able to eat a good, healthy meal together, enjoying one another's fellowship together. And you wouldn't have one individual sitting out here at a table that didn't have anything and have to go through all of that meal without anything to eat. So it was designed in the supper portion first in such a way to create fellowship, to create a oneness so that they could talk about their relationship to Christ and how's your grandkids doing? How's your kids doing? And it was to create a loving fellowship. And after that meal ended, then they would take the Lord's Supper. But here was the problem. They would come together and there'd be a group over here and they had lots to eat and they were doing pretty good and had a lot of wine and they were getting drunk even before they made it to the Lord's Supper. And then they look over here and here's some poor people maybe that had given their heart to Jesus, and maybe they knew them and they knew their past and they had looked down upon them for whatever reason, and they would be over there by themselves together with hardly anything to eat, hoping somebody would come by and give them something to eat. So what it did, it created factions within that body. It created division and schisms within that body. And so Paul, being aware of this, writes in how to correct this in this first century church that was beginning to go astray. So when you look at your Bible, look at verses 28 in chapter 11. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The first thing on your outline is this: the sacraments denote God's saving work. Now, if you're in a Skype room or you're in here this morning and maybe you're pretty young and you don't know what the word sacraments means, well, up here on the table that you may not be able to see, we have sacraments. We have the bread and we have the cup. Now, we have grape juice in the cup and these little pieces of bread, but they represent something. And that's what a sacrament is. And so what are the sacraments? And it's on your outline: the bread broken for you. And then B is the blood covenant that forgives you. So the juice represents the blood covenant. That's where you gained your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you ready for heaven. That's what creates that loving fellowship that you have with the Lord on a daily basis. Then you have the bread. Now, here's where it can oftentimes get confusing. Verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, This is my body. Now he's talking about the bread, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now that word broken right there is oftentimes confused in the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that not a bone on Jesus' body was broken. But we know that his flesh was torn, that he had been beaten. We know the scriptures in Isaiah 53 that by his stripes we are healed. And we know that he had had nails driven through his hands and through his feet. And that he had lots of lacerations and that he was bleeding. And we know that in his body, the innocent Lamb of God, that you and I could enter into glory or to the throne and we could receive grace and mercy for salvation in time of need. And then from henceforward, you still receive grace and mercy in time of need. That word he uses in 1 Corinthians 11:24, broken, that is not the same as a breaking the body, actually breaking it. It's like this. In fact, this morning me and Madeline went to Brookshire's. And if you like fresh baked French bread, and you like it a whole lot, this loaf is yours at the end of the service. It's first come, first serve. I have not opened it, and it was purchased at Brookshire's. I went to Brookshire's this morning, and me and Madeline, and I said, let's go get some bread. I need a loaf that's not sliced. And we looked all on that aisle, and everything they had was sliced. So I get home, and Teresa says, I said, Teresa, I couldn't find anything but sliced bread, but I'm going to use that as an illustration. She said, well, why didn't you go to the bakery? And I didn't think about a bakery being in a grocery store. So we went back. Now we've got two loaves, one sliced and one non-sliced. So this one is for somebody that likes French bread. Now, when he says that his body has been broken for us, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. He says that he is the bread of life. But more than that, he said, I am the living bread, living bread. And so when Jesus, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, gave of his life, his innocent life, his innocent blood, his humanity, as our sacrifice on the altar, what he did is he's saying, hey, that body is broken for you. It is broken for you. It is broken. It's distributed. The life of Jesus is distributed throughout the entire world in every generation for those who will receive him as the bread of life. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have in Jesus. So Jesus is the living bread. Now, if you went to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, you would learn that he talks about the Passover, the first Passover. Paul kind of starts them out there, and if you go back into the Old Testament, in the Old Testament we have what you call Christophanies, Theophanies, and Jesus Christ is referred to quite often in the Old Testament. And so what he's having to do is remind these believers that the God that you serve in this new covenant, this Jesus Christ that you saw die on the cross, that has been resurrected on the third day, seen by over 500, this Savior was different than anything you ever dreamed of that you could see in the Old Testament. In fact, God gave you a rehearsal of this Jesus throughout Old Testament history. He is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, as the seed. Then we follow that seed, Jesus Christ, the seed. And we get to the book of Exodus. And when we get into the book of Exodus, we find that there is a Passover. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that he says, and they ate the same spiritual food. Remember the manna? I like to call it the manna bread. They all ate of that bread. It was the same bread. They couldn't leave it and let it spoil. They had to eat it that day. Jesus Christ is the bread in the wilderness. We are in the world without Christ. Our sins are the only thing we have. We're exposed to the judgment of God before we are born again. Now follow me on this because it's important how it connects to the Passover or to the Lord's Supper. God sends Moses as a deliverer. And he goes into Egypt. And when he gets there, there's all these plagues. Then there's that ninth plague. There's that darkness, that heavy darkness. And when Jesus was on the cross, there was that darkness, that heavy darkness. And then there's the tenth plague. And it's the tenth plague by which Israel is going to be delivered out of Egypt. And in the 10th plague, that's when they had to put the blood on the door lintels and on the doorpost of the house. And so follow me on this. It's extremely important. So they had to go and get a lamb or whatever else they could use. And they could have up to 10 in a family for that lamb. But it was a whole lot of lambs that had to be killed. A lamb over here at this house had to be killed. And a lamb over here at this house had to be killed. And so they would put the blood over their door so that when the death angel came, whoever was first born in the house would not die if there was blood. You and I was born March 25th, 1966. I was first born. Not the first born in my family. That was my oldest brother. But I was first born. When you were born, you were first born. When you got saved, you were born again. But in your firstborn state, you have sin open through the door into your heart. Hebrews 4:13, that is completely exposed to the judgment and the holiness of God. And so God said, y'all got to put some blood on those doors. And you got to go kill that lamb. And then somebody down the road said, I don't need to do that. I'm not going to waste. I've been raising that lamb, and I'm going to use that to supply food for our family. I've got to use that lamb. I'm not going to kill my lamb. That's hogwash. I'm not putting blood on my doorpost. Who's going to clean it all up? That's just going to draw flies. I'm not doing that. That's foolishness. What kind of a God would require me to put blood on my doorpost and on the lintels of my door? Well, here comes the death angel. I don't know if the death angel walked or floated down through there. I don't know how it works. But here comes the death angel coming down through there. Here's this family that didn't understand it all, but they had faith that God was real and that his word would come to pass. And they just stepped out on faith and they said, Lord, I'm going to trust in the bread. I'm going to trust in the lamb. I'm going to trust in the blood. And so they killed their lamb. They put the blood on the doorpost and the death angel walks up and he can't see the heart of the firstborn because he can't see beyond the blood because the blood is the covenant that God made to protect the life of the firstborn. So the death angel sees the blood and he can't see beyond it. And so the death angel finally passes. And then at the next house, you hear a loud cry. You hear mourning, and you hear just agony in parents as the firstborn died. Why? Because they didn't trust the Word of God, that God is the Lamb of God, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and that His blood was the atonement for their sins. That's why this Lord's Supper is so valuable. And so then we come to the second part of this. So the blood is the covenant. The bread has been broken for us. The bread has been broken for us. And you feed on the bread of life every single day in Jesus Christ. But here's the last part. How we take the Lord's Supper. How do we take it? If we're to examine ourselves, that's the first part. We examine our hearts. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 30. Marvelous, marvelous scriptures. Encouraging scriptures. Because it gives us application. Tells us what to do. Now, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now we're looking at those who did put the blood on the doorpost of their heart. If you've got Jesus, your doorpost of your heart, that blood is protecting you on a daily basis from the judgment of God. So that if you died as a believer before you got out of this sanctuary today, you would be immediately in the presence of God. Why? Because the blood has forgiven you and washed your sins away as far as the east is from the west, so that when God looks at you, he cannot see you but through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have in him. And he says, now that you've got the Lord. Now let's take it for example of these that were in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, hey, that cloud, that was Christ. That rock that was split that drained all that water out for y'all to drink, that was Jesus Christ. He's saying all these things that happened in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. And he's saying, now, you should know that. And he tells them, you need to examine yourselves. And then we get over here in Ephesians, and he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So how do we examine ourselves? And that's on your outline. We examine our hearts first. You can't examine your neighbor's heart, nor can I examine your neighbor's heart. You examine your own heart. And here's the thing. Are we, and it's on A in your outline, are we grieving the Spirit? That's question number one. Now let's go to B on your outline. First one is, are we grieving the Spirit? B, what do we need to stop doing? And C, what do we need to start doing? Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. That's that salvation moment. That's that sealing that God put on your life when He saved you. And you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Nobody can break that seal. You can't break that seal either. It cannot be broken because it is the seal of God. And if you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know without a shadow of a doubt He dwells in your heart and He's changed your life, let me tell you, you've been sealed until the day of redemption because He loves you. He cares about you. And He wanted that one-time sacrifice, that one lamb, not many lambs, that one bread, that one sacrifice is good for the whole wide world that will put their faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, verse 31, what are some things we need to stop doing? Y'all, you may say this is not that important, what I'm fixing to read, but let me share something with you. If you want to see your prayers answered like crazy, and you want to see God blessing your life, giving you the desires of your heart, this is important. Because if you're praying and you're asking for God's blessings, but you're running around and you're mean as a snake, you're complaining and bitter all the time, you're practicing clamor, which is loud arguing, and you're always just, you are not reflecting Jesus Christ, let me tell you what you're doing. You are cutting off your own blessings. You are cutting off your own prayers. Because God, listen, the reason He cannot answer it is not because of Him. He wants to. It's because something else will get the glory. In other words, if you're living a life that the onlookers look at, other people can see, and all they see is mean, bitter, sour, all the time upset, let me tell you what they're going to say. When you get blessed by God or He answers your prayer, all that was just luck. All that was just this. All that was just that. Because they know your walk is not right. And so they're not going to give God the glory. That's why the Bible says, let your light so shine among men that when He does these things, that the Father would be glorified in the Son and there would be praise for what took place. Why? Because when you're living a life for Jesus and you're confessing your sins, and you daily examine yourself. And you say, listen, Lord, I don't like the way my attitude's becoming. I'm not tender-hearted anymore. I'm not forgiving-spirited anymore. I'm not kind to people anymore. I'm not loving to people anymore. The Lord will say, I agree. And He'll say, let's fix that. And what will happen is Kathy Matthews' song will begin to happen. The Holy Spirit will start flowing through you, and He'll start loving other people through you. He'll help you to be tender-hearted. He'll help you to be forgiven. And then you'll start praying, and God's answering those prayers. God's giving you blessings you didn't even ask for, wells you didn't dig, bread you didn't have to go buy. He's giving you all kinds of blessings. Why is He doing that? Because He knows that the onlookers know that you have a walk with Jesus Christ, and they are going to say, God did it for them. And they're going to give Him the praise and the glory, and you will too. You'll say, thank you, Lord. It's to your glory. So He says there's things to stop. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Again, clamor is loud quarreling, loud arguing, and evil speaking. Evil speaking, that's something that God can't stand. You know why? Because evil speaking, typically what happens is whoever you're talking about, it gets exaggerated and embellished. And it begins to tear them apart. And it's butchering them with your words. And you're judging them and you're critiquing them and you're tearing them apart. You're taking something you really don't even know enough about. And you're putting your own motive on it, your own spin, your own theory. And before you know it, everybody that just heard you, they no longer have trust in that individual. And you could be completely off base, totally. Instead, you go to those people and you say, you know what, I love you. You're not perfect, nor am I. We're both had to come to this same cross, and I love you. I don't understand what you're going through. If I did, maybe I could understand better. But when we get out there and we do evil speaking of others, we're not prepared for the Lord's Supper. When we're totally and completely angry all the time, and we're bitter, and we're unforgiving, we're not ready for the Lord's Supper. We got to stop a few things. If we judge ourselves according to 1 Corinthians 11, God wouldn't have to do it. But when we refuse to judge ourselves and get right with the Lord, then the Holy Spirit has to come and chastise the believer. And his chastisement is not any fun. It's no fun. But then here's the good news. It has a good ending. What do we need to start doing? Look at verse 32. And be kind to one another. You know, there's something joyful about being kind to one another. It makes you feel good when you're kind to one another. Cliff was kind to me last Monday when we went turkey hunting. He cleaned my turkey. And I was so appreciative. You didn't have a knife? Whose knife did you use? Oh, that was your knife. Okay. I heard somebody back here saying he didn't have a knife. Yeah, but he cleaned my turkey. We had a good time down there. Here's the second one, forgiving one another. Did you know when you forgive somebody, they might not ever deserve that forgiveness? Now, let's connect something here. Did you ever deserve Jesus's? You never deserved it. I don't deserve his forgiveness, but I sure am glad he forgives me. You forgive not because the person deserves it, but even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. You forgive because it helps you, but it also releases them to the Lord, to where the Lord can deal with them as well. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, Lord's Supper, and offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Aren't you glad we have a God that loves us, sanctifies us? He saved us. He sanctifies us. We all mess up. We all make a lot of mistakes. We all have, at different times of our life, the anger, the clamor, and all these different things. Just ask Teresa. Not her, but about me. We're not perfect people, but we have a perfect God. And aren't you glad? I want to pray, and then I want to ask our servants, if y'all will come forward. Don't forget Children's Church. And if you're in a Skype room, you'll have ushers that will be coming your way. So let's pray, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we all struggle with one thing or another. And Father, we've been examining our hearts. And each of us has felt your Holy Spirit say things to our heart that we need to start doing or stop doing, so that our lives reflect you, so that when others see us, they want to ask for the defense that's within us. They want to know the reason we're different. And Lord, I just ask you to hear our hearts this morning. Hear each individual in this place. Hear our hearts. Hear our prayers this morning. And Lord, forgive us where we have failed you for this sin or that sin, whatever it is. Forgive us. Maybe it's just apathy, Lord. It's not necessarily a particular sin. It's just apathy, lost the passion for Christ. Forgive us of that. And Lord, we approach this table this morning with sincerity, with reverence, with love, and in a spirit of worship. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.